Well, my name is Chad, and I'm one of the pastors here. I just want to welcome you again. What a joy. I am convinced that Jesus does not want to stay a mystery to any heart in this place. I'm convinced that many of us who are religious and come to church week in and week out, that many of us, in the midst of all of our busyness, do not live with a revelation of who Jesus is and all that He's accomplished and made available for us today. Amen. I was reading this morning in my quiet time. Morning is my favorite time because when the kids are up, it's all over. Come on, let me get a witness with a daddy or something out there. And I was reading early this morning with the coffee. My wife's been making homemade granola bars. Can I just testify for a second about homemade granola bars with coconut? And just, they're out of this world good. And I was reading, and I was reading through the Gospel of John this morning, and again, just astounded that Jesus wants to appear to every person and every heart. But apart from the Spirit taking who Jesus is and making it real to your life, we can miss Him. Has anyone ever missed Jesus? And I'm thinking of the woman in John 4, at the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman who has been married 5 times, and now she was sleeping with a man that she wasn't married to. And here's Jesus and her all alone. And He tells the woman, "Woman, you come to this well to draw water, but this water never satisfies your soul." And he tells her, "Can I have a drink of water?" And they have this amazing exchange. And she goes, "Dude, you don't have anything to draw from. And you're telling me you've got some water that I need." And He says, "Woman, if you knew who was standing before you, you would have asked Him." And I'm here to tell you today that God wants His children to ask Him for more of Himself in their life. He doesn't want us coming back to the empty wells of religion and just trying harder and memorizing that. He wants us to go straight to the source this morning and to receive life and to receive freedom and to receive forgiveness and wholeness. And so it's my intention this morning, as the one who's charged with the responsibility of opening the Word, my responsibility and my desire is not to preach a good word. My responsibility and desire is to connect you to fellowship with Jesus, because He's the only one that can change you. He's the only one that can set you free. He's the only one that set me free from inward bent, bound to lust and sin as a 16-year-old, and radically set me free. I've never been the same since, and I'm almost 31. Chad, but you're special. Well, thank you. I know I'm special. But no, he's not a respecter of persons. I'm here to tell you that no one has to leave today in the same condition that you came in if you encounter Jesus. He wants to change us and mold us after Himself. And there's an unbelievable story that we see the power of God's redeeming grace. It's in Acts chapter 3. So if you could you stand with me? Let's read this word together. I'm going to read it and I'll tell you when to join in. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, and so did John. And then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have." Read this with me. "But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Let me keep reading. "Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly," someone say instantly, "instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God." Travis, can you still jump? Come on. Let me see. He's jumping on the inside, I promise. "When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." I'm going to skip 2 verses. "When Peter saw them, he said, 'Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you?'" Glory. If Jesus is present and His power and His presence is flowing through His people, why should a miracle, the supernatural power of God, surprise us? My hope by the Spirit is that that question is answered today. You can grab a seat. Just a little bit of background. God just poured out His Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And it wasn't that an eventful of a day. Just 3,000 people came into the kingdom and received Jesus. Lives were changed. The coward Peter, who denied Christ before a little attendant girl, is the one who's standing before the masses and saying, "You guys killed Jesus, but you couldn't keep Him dead. God rose Him from the dead. Now repent and believe in Jesus." I'm here to tell you something. When you and I get submitted to Jesus, we begin to tap into a life that was not possible by our power or talent or ability, but only possible because He wants to flow through us. And what happened at Pentecost when God poured out His Spirit is that God left the building. Come on, someone say amen. Where it used to be, you had to go up the hill to Jerusalem in the temple and you had to bring a gift and a sacrifice. God said, "Enough already. My heart since the beginning is that I would just dwell among them." I never wanted it to be about a location as much as I wanted it to be about a relationship, communion and friendship. And God pours out His Spirit and He leaves the building and the temple goes mobile because we became the house of God. And so what we see in Acts chapter 3, we see the reality that empty religion will no longer cut it. Can you just nod at me? Empty rule-keeping, try harder by your own strength. You got to you know what your problem is? You didn't dot the right I, you didn't cross the right T. Listen, religion will never fix you or change you, but living in reality by your heart, your mind, and your life of Jesus, you have no shot. God's going to transform you into the destiny that He has for you. It's amazing. And what we find in Acts chapter 3 is we find Peter and John going to the place of prayer. Isn't this significant? Here's the picture. I'm not going to lay down because I got two mics on today and I don't want one of them to fall off. Because you care. I believe that this story in Acts chapter 3 is a picture of where many of us are at today. We're sitting there living as cripples, either literally or spiritually, hoping that something's going to pass by. And we're at the temple because we think it's about a building. And here we find the apostles, the ones who were just baptized with the Spirit, going to the place of prayer. Beloved, I think it's significant that they're going to the place from where the power and where the grace flows, the place of prayer and intimacy with God. I'm here to tell you there's many things that we have and what we do as believers and Christians, but I'm here to tell you we cannot afford to forsake the centrality of being a people of prayer as the people of God. I've been making a lot of notes lately on my phone, and Siri is becoming my new best friend because if I get an idea, I just start making a note. And to me, the essence of prayer is this. It is the pipeline or the channel or the avenue that God's heart comes to pass. He wants to dwell with men. He wants to dwell among us. And He comes where He's invited and where He's yielded to. And I'm convinced that when John and Peter are walking to the place of prayer, they weren't going to a building to get fired up. They were already fired up and filled with God. And they had eyes to see the needs of those around Him. I'm here to tell you, for many of you are waiting for someone to pass by. Look no longer. Jesus is coming. And Jesus has power to save and to transform. And He looks at them, begging at the temple. And I'm here to tell you, as I begin to think about the great need of our culture, Pastor Ron gave us a book as a staff or as an executive team, The Evangelical Recession, which is just a really encouraging title. And he argues, the author argues that many of us think there's like 40 or 50% of America is Christian, but he, through three or four studies, shows, guys, it's actually around 7 or 8%. We're not the majority. And as we read this book as a staff, and it really just kind of, it causes you to repent because we've tried everything under the sun as a church to give and to attract people. But what people need is Jesus. what is going to draw the next generation. And as much as I want it to, it's not going to be the music or it's not going to be the lights. It's going to be when Jesus is in the place, because nothing stays the same where he is. And I'm here to tell you what is needed for your life and for my life is not the next class, although equipping, we always are learning. It's not to find out your strengths. I'm convinced many times our strengths gets us in trouble because we stop relying upon his power and we think we can do it. Side story, another message. Beloved, I am convinced that what is greatly needed more than anything is that there's greater faithfulness on what we already know as believers. Everyone just smile. Quit being so serious. And Peter looked straight at him. Beloved, I'm praying in this hour that God releases a boldness in the people of God, not to be more preachy, but to be more faithful to witness to the fact that Jesus changes our life. Peter looked straight at him. How many know that Jesus is too good? He's too good to be ashamed of. I'm here to tell you, I can't tell you how many times God has put on my heart to love someone on purpose and to share the reality of Jesus, and I've walked away. And I'm here to tell you, God is going to unleash in this hour of church history a courage and a boldness to just simply live and to testify of the goodness of Jesus. And many of us, we get fumbled up and stumbled up because we think we got to have the Romans road, or I got to know how to preach a sermon to him. And I'm here to tell you, this simple testimony of a changed life is what Jesus still uses today to encourage people, to strengthen people. Silver or gold I do not have. If there was ever a day when the church had money, it's today. And how many know money does not equate greater fruitfulness of ministry? How many know what equates a greater outbreak of God's love and kingdom in our lives and our families and through our cities is a heart that says yes to him and a willingness for him to flow through us? Silver or gold, I don't have. How many are thankful for that excuse? I don't have any silver or gold. But what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus. Why is this so significant? We're in this series on the great buts, and I love this but. We don't have a ton of resources. I may not be the smartest or the most talented or the most gifted or the most able, but I'm certainly willing and I'm yielded to him. But what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus. And I'm telling you that when Jesus is who you have to give, Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. And why do we need Jesus so desperately in our hour? I'm just going to reel through these. And you'll have no blanks, so you're not going to have any empty blank syndrome or fear. That's why I always fill them in. I don't know what other pastors want to do, because I just don't want people going, oh, what was that blank? Because sometimes I forget. And how many are just going to give me a little mercy today? Why is it so important that we have Jesus to give and not empty religion? I'm convinced it's the three B's. Number one, people are bound. People are not just subjects to their culture or their upbringing, that there is an enemy of the soul that wants to keep us bound up in sin and guilt and shame. Has anyone witnessed being bound in your own heart? Remember, maybe you are today and you're like, dude, I feel hopeless. I'm here to tell you, hope is coming before the end. People are bound, and it says that all have sinned and fall short, Romans 3:23. And it says anyone who sins, John 8:34, is a slave to sin. And 1 John 5:18 and 19 says that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Why? Not the whole world is demon-possessed. But the reality is when you and I look outside of God for satisfaction, for love, for fulfillment, we forfeit our rights and our power, and we hand it to the one that we serve. And the insidiousness of sin is that we think it serves us, but if anyone has experienced bondage and perpetual cycles of chains, we end up serving sin. Come on, someone say amen. We never thought it would take us as far as it takes us. We thought we were in control, but the reality is that people are bound. And I believe there are people who are bound because the enemy has blinded their minds. They don't know Jesus. And I believe that even Christians can be bound because we're bound to our past failures and sins. No one ever struggles with that. So I'll preach to somebody else this morning. People are broken. People are broken. When our ancestors reached for the fruit every part, every relationship, our relationships between each other, between the earth, every part was broken when we went outside of looking for God. And I'm convinced not only are we broken and needy, and as much as that's not valued as a culture, but it's true. The only thing that actually pleases God, Psalm 51 and Isaiah 57:15, is a broken and contrite heart. How many are thankful for the reality of our lives apart from Him? The confession of that is the only thing that actually pleases Him. It's not, I'm all together, Jesus. I did the right thing this week, and so now you'll like me. No, we come confessing our brokenness, and He says, those are the ones I look on with favor. Yeah. That's amazing to me. And then ultimately, in as much as we are bound and we're broken, but God says today that you're beautiful. Men, you're studly, whatever gets your goat. And I don't think it's an accident that this cripple is hanging out by the gate beautiful. I'm here to tell you, that gate paled in comparison to what God saw when He looked at this cripple in his lowest place. Amen. And I'm here to tell you that because of the cross, we can no longer afford to look at anyone through worldly eyes. 2 Corinthians 5:16, we must begin to view people through the eyes of grace and through the eyes of the cross and through the eyes of Jesus, because that's how the Father views us. Aren't you glad? My theology professor in school used to tell me, Chatty, well, the whole class, he'd said, the only thing that goes deeper than original sin is original image. That even though we're broken and many times we're bound up in sin or ourselves or our own agendas, that God still looks at us and loves us. Aren't you thankful? He didn't send Jesus when humanity figured the thing out. He sent Jesus when we were at our lowest place, still with the finger of obstinance raised to Him in rebellion. And He said, that's the perfect time to show them the fullness demonstration of my love on the cross. Does that excite anybody in this room? Not when we had it together, but when we needed Him most, He said, that's where I want to love them. Beloved, people are beautiful. Even the person next to you. Even the person in your seat. Someone's like, who's that? You're beautiful this morning. You're made in His image. And though you may be bound or broken, He says, you are not trash. You're an object of His love and His affection. Why is it so important that we have Jesus to give away and not empty religion, our own thoughts, our own words? It's because people are looking for empathy. And beloved, sympathy is, I'm sorry for you. Empathy is, let me join. Let me put the shirt on that you're wearing so I can feel what you're feeling. How many know being an empathetic person is not something we can just work up? We need help for it. And how many know that we serve a King and Lord Jesus who didn't stay in His white big old palace and big shiny throne and pretty gold streets? Jesus came down in the muck and the mire and the cesspool of human sinfulness and brokenness. He says, guys, I came to identify with you. I came to empathize with your weaknesses, with your suffering. You've had family weirdness? So have I. My family told everyone I was crazy. You've had abandonment issues? So have I. When I was on the cross, all the sheep scattered. You've had issues where people want to kill you? Maybe not. I have. Every town I went. Jesus, in every way, can empathize with us. And beloved, it's time for the church to not just show sympathy. Beloved, it's time for the church, by grace, to begin to empathize with people. This is not just feeling sorry. It's identifying with their brokenness. How many know that the gospel and the kingdom life is not one live where you have a pretty white pressed shirt? It's one live where you're dirty and you're in the muck and the mire and you're going after those that Jesus is going after. Why? Because He went after us. Someone say amen. People are looking for empathy. People are looking for encouragement. Not just the kind of pat on the back and you're going to be okay. People are looking for spiritual encouragement. And how many know one of the great places we find resources to encourage is in the Word of God? Come on, how many of you have been a recipient of someone, a timely word where they encourage you with the Scripture? Let me just see your hands. Just raise them up to testify. Everything that was written in the past, Romans 15, was written so that the endurance and encouragement they provide, we might have encouragement. And how many know that Paul tells the church in Corinth, he says, oh, out of all the gifts, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gift of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. We said this before. The prophecy can get a bad name because many of us think of a guy with a big, long, weird, shabby hair and a big beard and a robe. And when he talks, his eyes are rolled back and he's freaky. Come on, someone ever think of that? Maybe it was just me. But beloved, the essence of prophecy is inspired speech, not it's going to rain in 3 days. There are some of those prophets who can foretell. But beloved, the prophecy that Paul is telling the church to operate in is when the Spirit gives us inspiration to encourage someone, to lift them up, and to give them a word that sustains them in their weary place. How many have been a recipient? How many have ever functioned in this and you didn't know what it was called? God puts them on your heart out of the blue. And he gave you a word or a picture or a scripture and you knew you were supposed to share it with them. How many have been, come on, let me see those hands. Where God, out of the blue, to you, not to him. And I'm convinced that, beloved, Jesus is the head and Jesus is healthy. Just shake your head. I promise he's healthy. But you're only as healthy as you are, as the whole body is healthy. And one of the tools that God has given the church for a strengthened, healthy body is the gift of the prophetic. That when we see people, we don't just assess them by their brokenness or bondage. We listen to God's voice. We've read his word. And if he gives us something to encourage him, we say, hey, I just want you to know, he sees you. He's right where you're at. The Spirit of prophecy. It doesn't have to be a freaky, stinky, weaky thing, whatever. It's inspired speech. It's when we're yielded to God and he gives us something to encourage someone. I'll never forget, I was in Bob Evans. I'm going to tell this story really, really, really quick. I was in Michigan, and I'm never going back. No offense. I'm actually going back in July. Dang it. I was in Michigan, and we were at a Bob Evans restaurant, and I walked in, and the first thing I saw was this woman, this young lady. Anyone heard of Bob Evans? It's a breakfast place. Okay, whatever. Sausage. And the first thing I saw when I saw this lady, I walked up, we said hi, the hostess, little teenager girl. Immediately when I saw her, not literally, but in my mind's eye, in my heart, I saw little African babies and little children all over her. Again, not literally, we were in Bob Evans. And when I saw it, I was like, Lord, that's really weird. I didn't just watch a documentary, you know, why? And so I'm thinking about it all through breakfast, and I'm a little bit scared to tell her if it means anything to her, because who tells someone you just met, hey, I saw babies all around you. I don't know if she's married. And so we go through our whole breakfast, and it's amazing, and I'm like, Lord, I don't know what that was, but I want to encourage her. Maybe I'm just kooky, and that's okay. I mean, Fools for Christ is my favorite verse. But finally, we all were getting into the car, and I did the chicken walk. You know, I would walk to the car. You know the chicken walk. And finally, I'm like, what do I have to lose? I'll probably never see her again, ever. Well, as we were hanging out at breakfast, we found out she was a believer, so I felt like I had a green light. And I walked up to this young lady, and I said, hey, I know this sounds weird, but you love Jesus, and you know that I'm weird already, but I just want you to know that the first thing I saw when I saw you, when we walked in this building, I just saw little kids all around you. Again, not literally, just the Lord inspired it in my heart. Little African babies. And she looked at me, she said, you know what? What I want to do with my life is I want to start an orphanage. Now, I promise you, Chatty from Kansas, by way of California, did not know homegirl at Bob Evans. But I'm here to tell you that God is, and I'm not some super prophet, but I had an ear that was open and a willingness to want to encourage someone. And I'm here to tell you, God is always speaking and he wants people to be encouraged, strengthened, and built up. Amen. How many know that as if you're a believer today, it is not your destiny to be limping and trickling by. He wants you to walk in the fullness of what he's made available for you. And one of the ways he does that is by the prophetic. Someone say, Chatty, we get it. Move on. Okay. People are looking for empathy. People are looking for encouragement. And why do we need Jesus so much? Because people ultimately are looking for life-altering encounters. Listen, what did this man think was the conduit or the catapult to the life he wanted? What did this guy, the cripple, think? Silver or gold. And how many know that dog don't hunt? It ultimately doesn't satisfy. I was even thinking again, I don't know why it was, just even about Robin Williams, and I know he was amazing, but how many more Hollywood stars have to commit suicide until we, even as a church, buy into that there is nothing else that will satisfy us or give us that place of deep pleasure and satisfaction but Jesus? And my heart breaks and grieves because many of us, even in this building, are still looking outside of Jesus for fulfillment. And just like this man in Acts chapter 3, there will be nothing that can get you from here to the destiny that he has for you, but through Jesus. Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk. There's another great but. In the Bible, there's a bunch of great buts in the Bible, but one of them is Zechariah 4:6. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And I am absolutely 100 trillion billion, biggest number you can think of, percent positive that you and I, all the excuses we give ourselves of why we're not loving people more intentionally, or why we're not sharing the gospel, or why we're not sharing our testimony, or why we're afraid to pray for people, or why we're just even afraid to be nice sometimes, has to do with what we think we lack. And I'm here to tell you that what separates Christianity from every other religion is not about gaining a bunch of stuff and getting it all together so that now you're useful. Christianity is we can't, but he can. Christianity is all I have is filthy rags. My righteousness, even on its best day, is only worthy of the manure pile. But with Christ and through Christ, I can do all things. Amen. The essence of Christianity is that our lack is oftentimes the inroad to where God's power wants to come through. In our weakness, I forgot, where is his strength made perfect? I'm sorry, I just gave you the answer. It's in our weakness. And how many of you have said this in your head? I'm not smart enough. I don't know enough scripture. I can't preach. That's not my gift. If only I had more, fill in the blank. Or how about this one? God couldn't use me because of... And all of those, beloved, and in every scenario, you know who's the center player of that scenario? You are. The essence of Christianity is that our life is hidden in Him. So it isn't about what you don't have, or you're not gifted, or you're not this. He's just looking for some people who are yielding with a yes in their heart that says, Jesus, use me for your purposes and for your glory. Our lack, many times, is what he has given us so that we can rely on him. And I'm convinced, beloved, again, that what is needed more than anything is a greater faithfulness to what he's already shown us. I remember I saw an email a while ago. Someone sent an email that said, many times we like to complicate the scripture or God's word or commands because if it's complicated and we don't understand it, we have an excuse not to obey it. No one's ever done that. And I'm here to tell you, the kingdom belongs to children. And I have a child, too. I just want to free you today. If you're waiting for another class, or I'm not ready. I'm here to tell you, you will be amazed by just being available to those around you. But what you do have, give them Jesus. And why is it so significant to give and to receive Jesus? Because in Christ, we find forgiveness. How many are thankful? Remember, the forgiveness of your sins. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. Beloved, I want to tell you, Acts 13:33 and 38 through 39, that in Jesus you can receive forgiveness of sins, something that there's no other message, there's no other religion, there's no other gospel by which your sins can be forgiven but through Jesus. We find forgiveness. in Jesus, we find freedom. What was the very first passage that Jesus preached when he started his ministry? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoner, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And I want to tell you today, wherever you're at, I'm not preaching loud because you're hard of hearing, but because the word's got to get out. And I don't want to preach like a 70-year-old yet. I'm only 30. I'm telling you, he wants to set people free today. It's not his heart that you would leave bound and guilty and shame to your sin. That through Jesus, no sin or guilt or condemnation can compete with the power of his love and his grace. If it's the first scripture that he quotes and he brings his ministry, beloved, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still in the make free business today. And we are going to give you a lot of tools as a church and how to grow. But what I'm telling you is, you don't need a bunch of classes. He can set you free by faith simply, even today. Yippee. And in Christ, we have fullness. What separates Christianity, among other things, from every other religion? It's not just get rid of all the negative vibes and the negative thoughts and get rid of all the negativity. Beloved, Christianity is a being-filled faith. Aren't you thankful for that? So I come to Jesus and he wipes away my sins. I come to Jesus and he takes my chains off. And then he doesn't just send me out to the world and say, hey, good luck, pal. He fills us with himself so that we can operate and live way above our talent, pay grade, and ability. We can live with his resources and not ours. In Christ, we have fullness. So many of you today, either you don't know the Lord or maybe you do know the Lord, but you would say, Chatty, there's no way I'm living in that fullness. I am living on a trickle. It's time to ask for him to fill you again today. So whatever your point of need, Ron, I love what he said at the beginning, the point of contact. Whatever your point of need, wherever you need breakthrough, wherever you need encouragement, beloved, Jesus is the answer. Chatty, will everything be happy and good? I don't know. All of the apostles got killed for their faith except for John. Good news. But beloved, what possessed them in such a way that they considered their lives worth nothing? They had to tell the world what they found in Jesus. Amen. What do you need today? Are you sitting like the beggar, like the cripple, hoping that someone will notice you? And I'm here to tell you today that Jesus sees you, he knows you. He sees you. He knows you. He knows what you need. Many times, even when we don't even know what we need, aren't you thankful for that? I don't know what to ask for. I don't know what I need. It's okay. Just reach out. Jesus has it. And I'm just saying today, if you need forgiveness, you can be forgiven. Confess your sins. He is faithful and just. If you need freedom from a bondage or from an addiction or from a chain, not only can he set you free, he can keep you free. That makes me happy. Yeah. Chatty, but I've tried before. Well, how many know that discovering the fullness of Christ is not a solo mission? We've got to do it together. And you said, Chatty, I prayed the prayer and I do good and I stumble and I fall. And my question to you, are you connected to other people who can pray for you, encourage you, and speak life? I'm convinced everyone needs a bop you upside the head kind of friend. Come on, does someone have a bop you upside friend? The head, you know, hey, that's not who you are. That's not who you are. You're a child of the King. Quit living like a beggar. That's not who you are. The food is on the table, not in the pig pen. Come home. That's not who you are. How many know that that is the God that we serve? He never comes to condemn. He always comes to save and to forgive and to bring healing and restoration. Amen. So if you're sitting here today and the weight of condemnation, that is not God, that's the enemy. Look up to Jesus. He wants to remove that spirit of heaviness today. If you need God to touch your life through forgiveness, through healing, through deliverance, through chains to be broken, if there's a physical ailment, again, I just always want to give people an opportunity to respond to Christ. And if that's you, I just want you to stand where you're at, wherever you may be. Any of those things, you need God to touch you today. Anybody this morning, Jesus to touch you. This is not the stand of shame. This is, hey, silver or gold I don't have, but I need Jesus. It's awesome. Levels of freedom and breakthrough and forgiveness. It's amazing. He wants to do it today, fam. And just right where you're at, just take 10, 15, 20 seconds. Just tell him why you stood. Not out loud, just in your heart. You can just tell Jesus. He knows anyway, but tell him. And whatever it is, ask for it. Lord, I need forgiveness. And then after you ask for it, say, Jesus, I receive forgiveness. Lord, I need freedom from sin or from bondage. Whatever it is, renounce that bondage and then receive freedom today. Chad, I'm a Christian, but I've been living on a trickle when I know he promised a river of living water to flow in my heart. Ask him to fill you and then receive it today. And if you have ailment in your body, our God, the work of salvation is not just wipe away your sins. It is your whole spirit, soul, mind, and body can be made whole, can be made new. And so if it's something physical, just say, God, touch me, heal me. You raised up that crippled man, that lame man through your disciples. You can do it again today. And Lord, we just thank you. If you're standing next to someone, don't interrupt them, but can you just ask permission, but just put your hand on your shoulder. This is that point of connection thing. Everyone, just have someone hand on your shoulder. As each part does its work, that's what Scripture tells us, remember? Each part. If you don't have someone standing by you, touching you, or encouraging you, raise your hand. Someone needs to come. Put their arm on your shoulder. It's good. No one alone here. There is no outsider here. God loves you. It's good. And Lord, through the hands of your people, would you administer grace right now? Would you administer healing, forgiveness, freedom? God, every person is a conduit, a place where your kingdom can come and your will can be done. So, Lord, in every spirit, soul, mind, and body in this room, we just declare the fullness of Christ, the freedom of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ. Lord, if there's any sickness in this room, if there's any cancer, Lord, joints, migraine, habitual headaches, be gone in Jesus' name. Father, where there's arthritis, backs and knees, just come into alignment. Be strengthened. Brand new body parts, Lord, where we've been weary and weak. Lord, your power is sufficient for all things in this room. And so let your grace flow through every person, through every heart. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want you to stand with me. I want to give you a benediction. Don't leave. I promise you want it. Receive this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. Someone say no with a little sass. Come on, with a little more sass. No, in all of these things, you are more than conquerors through Christ who loved you. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels or demons, nor the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so may you walk in the fullness of his love with your head held high, not in some fake, shiny, outward religion, but in a heart that's been set free and you just can't hold it in any longer. May the Lord bless you and keep you this week in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I love you guys. Have a great week.